to see everybody out. It's always encouragement to be able to gather together. We always encourage when we have visitors with us. We're happy to have you here, especially Dottie. Dottie's really happy to have you here. But it's good to have you here, always is. We encourage you to come back and be with us anytime you can. It's always good to be able to simply gather together and study God's Word. We choose to obey the gospel. Sometimes in doing that, when we consider getting baptized or when we did get baptized, we focus on the point of, yes, of getting our sins cleansed, you know, to be washed away, to receive that remission of sins. And we come forward to allow God in doing that. But in doing that, we're also doing another thing. We are making a covenant with our God. We are giving Him our word to obey Him. We are making a contract to an extent, or making a promise and a vow to our God in the point of Him taking away our sins, that we are choosing to follow Him. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is a covenant with God. If you turn with me to Hebrews, we're going to start in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 6. It says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought or set. Because finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my new laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to vanish away." So here we read, as it's brought out, prophesied, that God would make a new covenant. And he makes that new covenant with us. He gives you the opportunity to make that covenant with him. As he brought out, he brings out, he promises a few things to us. He promises to wash away your sins and remember them no more. We go to him because he sacrificed his son and enabled to make this covenant for us. He promises a home in heaven to those who are faithful and willing to obey him. Those who are willing to come to him. What we need to understand is that we also have been entered into this promise. It's not just God keeping his promises, but we are to keep our promise to him. That we made a covenant with God. When you choose to obey the gospel. And so I want to look at a few of those promises that we've made. And looking at the points that we have entered into a covenant with God, as we read here through Hebrews. That it is a covenant, that it is a promise, that it is somewhat of a contract, if you might say. You are giving God your word. You confess that you believe in him. You go to God in prayer asking for his forgiveness. In return, you are giving yourself over to the Lord. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that's where our sins are forgiven, right? When we are baptized, when we go to him, when they were cut to the heart and they said, "What shall we do?" Peter answered, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the remission of your sins." As Paul was commanded in Acts 22 and verse 16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And we're told, as we read in Hebrews 8, part of this new covenant is that He will cleanse us from our sins and remember them no more. This is where we enter in a covenant with God. So if you have been baptized, if you have come to God to wash away your sins, you've made a covenant, you've made a promise to the Lord. If this is something you're considering doing and you've been dwelling on, this is what you're considering and doing, is that you are giving yourself over to the Lord. You are making a promise to Him. That's what we do when we are coming to God, is we are making a covenant with the Lord. Just as we take the example under the Old Testament, as He called Abraham out of the land and He brought Abraham out and He gave Abraham a son, they end up entering a covenant with each other. God and Israel, God and Abraham. And of course, the sign of their covenant is that they circumcised their children. That was the sign of them continuing in that covenant with God. And as we've entered into the new covenant that He has established, that we read about here in Hebrews chapter 8, that begins when we are baptized. When we go to God for the forgiveness of our sins, we are coming to Him to enter into a covenant with Him. And in doing that, we are promising to put Him first. We are making a decision to give ourselves over to God and to put Him first in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, there it says, Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Now this verse was, before this verse is talking about how God will take care of you. Talking about how God was willing to provide the food for you, to make sure you have the clothes on your back, to make sure you have water that you need, to make sure you have the necessities of this life. But it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You want to have the promises that God has made. You want to be on God's good side. You want to receive the reward that He has promised unto all. Well, here you have to enter in this covenant with God. Meaning you have to be willing to put God first in your life. You have to be willing to seek first His kingdom. Meaning His church, His people, His brethren, His children, that we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and His commandments. That we put God first in our lives. That's what we're doing when we enter in a covenant with God, that we are putting God first in our lives. In Luke chapter 14, if you turn along with me there. In Luke chapter 14, and starting in verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish all, who see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first? Consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Here it says we must forsake all. Understand, I know what it said there in verse 26, bringing out the point that it says, if you do not hate your mother and father, not even himself. We understand the Word of God tells us we're not to hate and talks about love. We'll get to that a little more here in a bit. What it's bringing out here is that we have to put everything, everyone under God. Following the Lord comes first. We must put the Lord first. I understand that's sometimes hard. Trying to make that decision, asking if we're putting family above God, and sometimes it's hard to make that decision. That's what it's bringing out here, is that if we truly want a home in heaven, you want to be a child of God, an heir in Christ, we must follow our Father up above and keep His commands. You look at the examples above what we just read here in Luke chapter 14. You go back to verse 16 and read through verse 24. Here, as He's prepared a supper, He's prepared a feast, and He goes out and invites many to come to Him, come to the feast. But you pick up in verse 18, it says, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to Him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have been married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Saying, wait a little bit longer. When the next one's prepared, then invite me. I might be ready then. The master does not wait. Instead, he sends his servant back out and says, go and invite everyone else. Go into the streets, go into the hills, go wherever you have to, and invite whoever is willing to come. Because in verse 24 it says, for I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper. None of those who refused to come, who delayed, who made excuses, who did not give themselves over to the Lord and put Him first, will not taste the supper. We have to put God first in our lives. You understand, He does not give us commands in which it is to put you in the worst position. Sometimes, you know, as we can look at the apostles, we look at their examples, that they were thrown in prison, that some of them were stoned and left for dead, and we understand standing up for God sometimes is going to be hard. But following God is in the best interest for us, and that's what He desires for you. Is that you be the best person that you can be, and that you have a home in heaven after the hard life upon this earth. And that way, we won't ever have to go through the struggles of this world anymore. That we will live a peaceful, joyful life without pain, without sorrows, without worries in heaven. And if that's what you want, that's what you go to God for, then you have to make this commitment to put God first in your lives. To follow Him faithfully. Meaning we're choosing to put the things of this world behind us. And we're choosing to put our treasures up in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Our home is in heaven. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. Turn along with me there. As it reads here, it says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So again, we talked about baptism the other day and bringing out, as we read through these verses right here, that when we are baptized, we are spiritually and mindful of being buried with Christ, being put to death with Christ, being raised up anew as Christ was resurrected. And how that applies to us is that we are put into death sin. The man of sin, becoming a new person, becoming a righteous and holy, a just person. We're about to get to those qualifications of elders as we start Wednesday night. We're going to get talking in about being just and being holy. That's what we become when we obey the gospel. And so as we look here and it says, when we have died, we are freed from sin. This is a covenant we're making. Is that God deliver us from the sin that has bound us down. From that sin, from Satan who has ensnared you. Of becoming slaves of that sin. Now you become free. no longer slaves of it, but you have been forgiven. Therefore, we put sin behind us. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm reading there in verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are no longer conformed to this world, no longer allowing the world to set its influence on us, but we are transformed. We are following God. We are keeping His Word. We are studying to know right from wrong. You enter in this covenant with God. You are giving Him His Word, your Word, that you are not going to go down the path of sin any longer. And in order to do that, that means you're going to open up your Bible and study. That means you're going to open it up and study and be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a workman who can rightly divide the word of truth, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. You have to be willing to study to know right from wrong, to put off the love of this world. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, and reading there in verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Once again, entering in this covenant with God, meaning you have set your treasures in heaven. That it's no longer about the love of the things, of the material things of this world, the love of the flesh, the love of the possessions and the pride that you have in yourself. You put these things behind you. Our love is for one another. Our love is for God and trying to follow Him and keep His commandments. We put the things of this world behind us. In John chapter 15, John chapter 15, you read along with me starting in verse 18. John 15, verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's the covenant you've entered in. That's the choice you make. And choosing to obey the Word of God. That you're choosing to be loved by God, to choose to accept the love of God. And in doing so, you're choosing to follow in His footsteps. As Charlie read for the Lord's Supper this morning, that we are following in the footsteps of Christ. And understand, Christ was hated for following the will of God. Of our Father. And therefore, we will be hated also. That's a covenant, that is a promise that we must be faithful to, that we must keep. Another point to bring out is that we are promising to be teachers, to teach the Word of God, to be a light in this world, to set the example unto others. In Acts chapter 8, turn along with me there. In Acts chapter 8, we look at the example of the brethren as the church began here. And Paul, before he became Paul, was Saul, and he was out persecuting the church. And so you read here in Acts chapter 8, as he went forth and done it, and verse 3 says, for Saul had made a havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging men and women, committing them to prison. And verse 4 says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. It's not just speaking about the apostles here. It wasn't just the apostles who went out and preached the word. It says Saul was making a havoc of the church. And due to that, and they scattered. They went to different cities. And when they went to different cities, they were teaching others the word of God. It goes into the example of Philip. Philip and Samurai. is going forth and teaching. We are to go forth and teach, to set the example unto others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Understand it's not always just the physical teaching, but teaching by example, teaching by our conduct, teaching by what comes out of our mouth, and making sure that we don't speak the way the world speaks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. It reads here, it says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." Listen how much they set the example when people visit there and then they travel back home. The word spreads. They say, "Have you heard about what the brethren are doing in Thessalonica? Have you heard and seen the things that they are doing, the love that they have? How joyful they are because they have committed themselves to the Lord. Good news that they shared with me, and now I'm sharing with you." So we share it with one person, and they share it with another. Continues to grow, continues to go down the line. We set the example. Matthew chapter 5, we are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So therefore, we let our light shine, that people will glorify God when they see our works. We are choosing to become followers of Christ, disciples of Christ. Therefore, as disciples of Christ, we are taking His teachings and making them our own, going forth and teaching what the Lord had taught. In 1 Peter 3, in verse 15, in 1 Peter 3, and in verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So here, once again, they're asking for a reason. They see the hope that you have. They see that you stand out, that you're not part of the world, that you don't go forth and act like them. You don't go forth and always dressed in modestly like the world. You don't curse like the world. You are joyful because you have a home in heaven. And therefore, they're going to come and ask, why? Why don't you do this? Why don't you let that get to you? Why do you have hope? And therefore, we are to be ready to give an answer, ready to give a defense, that if they come to you and try to say, "Well, you can do it a different way," we can show them in the Word of God that's the way we're supposed to do it. This is how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to put Him first. We're supposed to follow what He told us to do. And we're not supposed to go beyond His Word or take anything out of it. When you make a covenant with God, you're choosing to be followers of Him. In choosing to be followers of Him, you're choosing to make His teachings your own. And choosing to be in a covenant with God, we're choosing to be loving. Loving to one another. Loving God because He first loved us. And taking His love for us, and we love one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you turn along with me there. Starting in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, and reading verse 9, it says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Well, there's some good, encouraging words that Paul wrote to Thessalonica. Earlier he writes, you know, "There's no need for us to write to you. You've been an example. Your faith has gone out to others, to Macedonia, to God." And here he talks about brotherly love. says, concerning brotherly love, I don't have to say anything. You've been taught by God. You know how to treat one another. Continue to grow in it. Don't stop. Don't grow weary in doing good. Continue to add to that love. Continue to do more. We're to love one another. In John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. As it brings it out here, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Once again, some people might get caught up in saying this is a first principle teaching. This is a simple understanding. Who couldn't understand it? How many times does it talk about love throughout the Word of God? About loving one another. Have it teaching us about loving your wives, wives loving your husbands, loving simply one another, brotherly love, loving your neighbor, Matthew 22, verse 37, 39, the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. He says, this is a new commandment I give to you. Love one another. We are to love each other. Truly be concerned for one another. As it brings out there in Matthew, to love your neighbor as yourself. That you're concerned for them, that you care for them, you want the best for them. We go forth and see that we are to love our enemies. We are to have love for one another. As 1 Corinthians bring out it, you know, you can have all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can be doing so much good, but without love, what does it profit? Again, Revelation. You look at the letter to the brethren there in Revelation 2, and it goes forth and talks about all the good work they're doing, but he says, concerning this one thing, this one matter I have against you, you've left your first love. We have to love each other. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, turn along with me there. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can you love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God, must love his brother also. How can you say that you love the Lord, that you love our Father up above, if you can't understand to love one another, to love your brethren, to love those who you spend day to day with, who you see, and truly can be concerned for, because you know them, you see them, they're right there. He says, how can you love God if you don't love him? We must keep the promises we made with God. These are just a few examples in looking at loving one another. We go forth and talk about all the different ways in which we can show our love. By being kind, by being helpful, by being hospitable. And then talking about not hating, we go forth, and as we've been going through the adult class and looking at the different ways of not being violent, not being greedy, not being quarrelsome, go forth and talk about the different things of which it would go along with, of not being caught up in the ways of this world, not being conformed by putting away sin, filthy talking, adultery, idolatry. Understand, if you've obeyed the gospel, you've entered into this covenant. You've given your word to be a follower of God and put in first in your life. We hope that if you haven't been baptized, that you're considering giving yourself over to the Lord, to making this covenant, because there's so much that he promises to you. We wish not to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you desire to be baptized to enter in this covenant, we encourage you to do so. If you need the prayers of the congregation, whatever you need to be, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?
Holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Follow Jesus.